We begin with Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 6, Creation of the Universal Form, Text Number 1. Rishir Uvacha,
Rishir Uvacha,
Iti Tasam Svalak Satinam, Satinam Asametya Saha, Prasupta Loka Tantranam, Nishamya Gati Ishraha, Rishu Vachi Avacha. The Rishi Maitreya said, Iti, thus, Tasam,
there.
Swashaktinam,
own potency,
Satinam,
so situated,
Asamedhya,
without combination,
Sa,
he,
the Lord,
Prasupta,
suspended,
Lokatantranam,
in the universal creation,
Nishamya,
hearing,
Gatim,
progress,
Ishvaraha,
the Lord.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
This Rishi Maitreya said, the Lord has heard about the suspension of the progressive creative functions of the universe due to the non-combination of His potencies, such as the Mahatattva. Please repeat. The Rishi Maitreya said, the Lord has heard about the suspension
of the progressive creative functions
of the universe due to the non-combination
of His potencies,
such as the Mahatattva. Purport. There is nothing wanting in the creation of the Lord. All the potencies are there in a dormant state. But unless they are combined by the will of the Lord, nothing can progress. The suspended progressive work of creation can only be revived by the direction of the Lord. I'll read the next verse too. Supreme Personality, this Supreme Powerful Lord, then simultaneously entered into the 23 elements for the goddess Kali, His external energy, who alone amalgamates all the different elements. Purport. The ingredients of matter are counted as 23. The total material energy, false ego, sound, touch, form, taste, smell, earth, water, fire, air, sky, eye, ear, nose, tongue, skin, hand, leg, evacuating organ, genitals, speech, and mind. All are combined together by the influence of time and are again dissolved in the course of time. Time, therefore, is the energy of the Lord and acts in her own way by the direction of the Lord. This energy is called Kala, or Kali. And it is represented by the dark, destructive goddess generally worshipped by persons influenced by the mode of darkness or ignorance in material existence. In the Vedic hymns, this process is described as Mula Prakritir Avikritir Mahadaya Prakriti Vikritaya Sapta Shodashakas Tu vikaro na prakritir na vikritir purushaha. The energy which acts as the material nature in a combination of 23 ingredients is not the final source of creation. The Lord enters into the elements and supplies applies its energy called Kali. In all other Vedic scriptures, the same principle is accepted. In Brahma Samhita 5:35, it is stated, Ekopyaso rachayitum jagadandako tim yat shaktyasti jagadanda chayat yadantak andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindam adi purusham tamahang bhujami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is the original personality of Godhead. By his partial plenary expansion, Mahavishnu, he enters into the material nature, and then into each and every universe as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and then as Kshiradakshay Vishnu into all the elements, including every atom of matter. Such manifestations of cosmic creation are innumerable, both in the universes and in the individual atoms. Similarly, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10:42, Ataiva Bhavanaitena Kim Gyatena to Arjuna, Vishtabhyahamidam Kritsnam Ekam Sena Stito Jagat. Arjuna, there is no necessity of your knowing about my innumerable energies, which act in various ways. I enter into the material creation by my plenary expansion, Paramatma, or the Supersoul, and in the universes and in all the elements thereof. And thus the work of creation goes on. The wonderful activities of material nature are due to the Lord Krishna, and thus he is the final cause of, or the ultimate cause of all causes. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vranta Swami Taramane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadhyade Satarane. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna summarizes in a very simple way. He says, Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetuna nena kundya jagati parivartate. This material nature is moving under my direction, producing all moving and non-moving beings, and by its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. But if we back up previously, Krishna said, Sara Bhutani Kunteya Prakriti Yanti Mamakam Kapashe Punastani Kapado Vishvitam Yaham Prakritim Swama Vashtabhya Vishri Jami Punak Punak Bhutagramam Ivam Krishnam Avasham Prakritir Vasha Chamatani Karmani Nibanadi Dhananjaya Udasi Nadvarasi Namasatta Teshu Karmasu. First he says, Sara Bhutani Kunteya Prakritim Yanti Mamikam, that in the beginning, Krishna sends forth all the energies necessary for creation. And then at a certain time, everything is annihilated by his will. And Prakritim Swama Vashtavya, again and again, the creation comes into being, and again, everything is annihilated. And then Krishna says, all this work cannot buy me, I am seated as though neutral. In other words, as Krishna has also said, it's practically inconceivable to us how someone could bring forth innumerable universes by his own energy, go through the whole process of creating everything, by his will move the material nature around so that all the purposes of creation are fulfilled, the living entities, their desires are fulfilled according to their what they merit, and this is going on in unlimited number of universes, practically speaking, and that at a certain point, everything is just annihilated. And Krishna is completely aloof. Just imagine if you walk down the street and by accident you were riding your car and by accident you ran someone over and you killed them. How would you feel? Hopefully you'd feel a little remorse. Oh, why did I should have been more careful. I wasn't looking when I was driving, or so unfortunate. You'd feel something. But here Krishna, he has trillions, quadrillions, whatever it may be, of living entities. And at a certain time, he just annihilates all of them. That's it. And there's not one even hint of a tear in his eye. He's still smiling. Even when he's doing it, he wipes everyone out with a big smile on his face. Got ya. Of course, that's from our point of view that we might lament. But Krishna has already told Arjuna, he's given the rationalization that Ashochana Ashochastvam Pragyavadam Kabasase Katasums Agatasums Cha Nanu Soshiti Pandita. While speaking learned words, you are actually mourning for what is not worthy of grief. The wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. In other words, from Krishna's point of view, he's really not killing the living entities because the living entities are eternal. He's simply providing them with the next necessary situation so that either their material desires can be fulfilled in the future or they can make further progress in spiritual realization. Therefore, when Arjuna was asking Krishna, my dear Krishna, just a few minutes ago on the battlefield, you looked like a perfectly normal gentleman, my chariot driver. But suddenly your mood has changed, and I'm watching you, and fire is coming from your mouth. Suddenly you have all these personalities are emanating from you, that it appears that you've become almost schizophrenic. What's happening with you? What's the problem? Was it just a bad night's sleep or something else? So he asked Krishna, Gyaki meko bhavan ugurupo namostate deva varaprasida vigyatam ischami vantamadyam nahi prajanami tava praritim. So he asks, what is your praritim? What is your purpose of manifesting this ugra rupa, this horrible feature of yours? Very horrible. After all, watching Krishna having this mouth where all the warriors being crushed between his teeth. Imagine watching someone open their mouth and these warriors are entering and he's just eating them. Obviously, Krishna sometimes has non-vegetarian food. And I don't even think these warriors were offered. In any case, Arjuna is quite surprised at his friend, his sudden change of consciousness, of his activities, his mood. So Krishna says, Kalosmi loka shaye krit pravrido lokansa maharta mihaparita vitepi nam tvam nivishanti sarve evastita pratnukeshi yoda. That time I am the destroyer of all the worlds, and I've come here to engage everyone. Except for you, the Pandavas, everyone here on both sides is going to be slain. So people are afraid of terrorists. The terrorist is going to get you. But the number one terrorist is the person we're worshipping, is Krishna. He's the person who's imperceivably killing everyone in the form of time. Just like we can see that the material nature is changing. But what is changing the material nature is time. And time keeps on marching on. It doesn't matter what happens in the material world. Whoever gets elected as the Prime Minister of Australia, whoever gets elected as the President of the United States, however heads of Brahma we happen to be in the universe of, time just keeps on marching on, undisturbed by any particular material circumstance. And eventually, time is annihilating everything. Of course, due to our lack of actually understanding of time, therefore we're imagining that we're here for a long time. But we have no idea about time, because in conditioned life, we're quite confused by everything, including time. Just like when Kunkumi went with Revati, his daughter, Kukumi's father was Revata, and he was Kukumi, his daughter's Revati, they went to see Lord Brahma in Brahmaloka in order to inquire who would be a good match for Revati. So when they arrived at Brahmaloka, Lord Brahma was listening to a concert of the Gandharvas. And he said, just wait a few minutes, the concert's almost over, there's only 15 minutes left. Sit down, listen. So he sat down, listened. After, yes, what can I do for you? Well, I have a daughter here. We have to get her married. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Right now, you've been here for 15 minutes of my time, but in your time, it's been millions of years. And therefore, your kingdom has disappeared. All your relatives have disappeared. Anyone who's ever heard of any of your relatives, including you, has also disappeared. Therefore, you're lucky if you have enough money to afford to go back to... you're completely bankrupt. Anyhow, I'm in a good mood. I'll give you a free ticket. If you simply leave right now, then you might make it back in time for Balaram's appearance on the earth. And it just so happens Revati is the eternal consort of Balaram, so it should be a good match. They've been getting along pretty good together forever. So of course he left and the rest is history. So what to speak of ourselves, as I was saying yesterday to Anirudhavru, does anyone know how many years of our time is 1 second in the life of Brahma? What's that? No. What's that? It's almost 100,000 of our years go by in 1 second of Brahma. We may think in the Krishna book, when Brahma stole the cows, it said he went away for just a moment. But that moment was the exact figure is 1/96,000th of a second. Because as soon as he stole the cows, immediately he had second thoughts and came back. And if you don't believe me, just take 311 trillion 40 billion years and divide it by 100. Then you get 31 trillion 40 million, 400 million years. And then you divide that by 365, or 360 actually. And you get approximately something 100 billion. And you divide that by, because now we're down to a day, by 24. And you divide the 24 by 60 for each 60 minutes an hour. And you divide that by another 60. For the 60 seconds in a minute, and you'll get around 96,000 left over. And Lord Brahma, we may think, well, he lives for 311 trillion years, he's so fortunate, but that's only one nimesha in the life of Mahavishnu. Which means in 1 second of Mahavishnu, approximately six or eight Brahmas come and go. So, what do we know about time? We know nothing about time. But time is pushing everyone in the material world according to their previous karma, and it's pushing everyone to perform new karma according to their desires that they've accumulated in the past. And that can go on forever. Fortunately, Krishna is not attached. He didn't create the material world to keep it going. He creates the material world to help the living entities escape from the clutches of illusion. And therefore, while we're engaged in trying to exploit the material nature, because that word exploit sounds rather cruel, No one in Australia is trying to exploit anything. We're trying to just have a good time here. Just making sure that she'll be right, that's all. But actually, the whole idea of the material nature, somehow or another, just like when we're eating something, we're thinking, oh, you know, it's just a cauliflower. But the cauliflower, when the person, actually they've done tests and they found out that when someone takes a knife to the cauliflower freezes. Of course, he wasn't moving very fast anyhow. He actually feels pain that he's about to be cut it into pieces. He doesn't. Plants actually have feelings. If you burn the leaf of a plant, the person who burns it, when he comes into the room the next day, the plant will actually register fear. And if you sing nice music to the plant, then the plant will actually register happiness. Therefore, although we may think, well, I'm just eating something, or people may think, but actually, it's quite an, for us, it's just a normal experience, but for the thing that we're eating, whether it be a plant or the animals, they actually have to go through some suffering for us to so-called enjoy. So my enjoyment means someone else's suffering. But we don't call that exploitation because it would be impolite. As a matter of fact, we give names to different things just to make us feel better. We're always the good guys. Just like in America, the cowboys were always the good guys and the Indians were always the bad guys. But in the reality, the cowboys were really, from our point of view, probably the bad guys. And the Indians were, well, not necessarily the good guys, but they're all bad guys. One bad guy against the other bad guy. But whoever wins, they write the history. And the only thing we learn from history, what is the only thing we learn from history? No, yeah, that no one ever learns from history. That's what means. Because the whole history of the creation is simply innumerable living entities trying to dominate over other living entities, and ultimately all being unsuccessful. But every birth with a renewed enthusiasm, the snake is looking for the frogs, and the frogs are looking for the insects, and the insects are looking for the people. So in that chain, we're kind of down on the ladder. But that's the history of the universe, and it's going on in 8,400,000 species of life. And in the uniform of life, we write poetry about it. As if it was something really glorious. And we have magazines, you know, Better Homes and Gardens, showing us, you know, how to prepare the beef steak and how to, you know, use your etiquette so when you put the bloody corpse in your mouth, you do it according to the prescribed etiquette so you're a gentleman or a gentle lady. So we've created this whole imaginative world where somehow or another we're actually the heroes or the heroines. But the fact is we're just, without Krishna consciousness, we're just caught up in an endless cycle of time, just going from one species of life to the next, trying to eat others before they eat us. Trying to find a few moments peace and deep sleep before we awaken and then have to flee from some species of life. Therefore, here it says that Krishna is very expert. He's able to create all these different situations for the living entities. But after all, it's always the same thing. There's earth, there's water, there's fire, there's air, there's ether, and then in some kind of ear, some kind of eye, some kind of tongue, some kind of genital, some kind of evacuating organ, some kind of species, strotram, strakshu, sparshanam cha, rasanam, granam eva cha, adishtayam, anakchanyam, vishaya, upasevate. Thus, the living entity takes a certain kind of strotram, hear, ear, chakshu, eye, sparshanam, sense of touch, sense of hearing, all grouped around the mind, and thus he enjoys a particular set of sense objects. But ukram, ukramantam sthitim vapi, punjana vap gunanvita, vimudo nanupashanti, pashanti jnana chakshu shaha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. In other words, practically everyone in the universe is bewildered by identification with their gross and subtle material bodies. And they don't really understand how things are going on. Only one who is fortunate enough to be trained with transcendental knowledge can understand something about actually what's taking place. That knowledge has to be coming through the simple succession from Krishna. Otherwise, we won't understand anything. And as Krishna says in the next verse, yatanto yoginas chayanyam pashantyatmani vashtitaha tatmano naiva pashantyachetasaha. The endeavoring transcendentalist who is situated in transcendent in self-realization can see all this clearly, but others, although they may try, cannot see what's taking place. So they're spending billions and trillions of dollars in research. All kinds of research. As I mentioned before, when I went to college, they had one research project they gave, at that time, $90,000 for, which was a lot of money back then. It was probably 10 times the amount now. And the research progress was why spiders build webs. So after 10 years of investigation, they came back and discovered why the spiders were building webs. And do you know what they discovered? They're doing it to catch flies. So they're endeavoring in so many different ways to discover the mysteries behind the universe. But they can't really understand things as they actually are. They don't get any closer to understanding the spiritual nature of the self, the position of the Supreme Self, how the material nature is being conducted by the three modes of material nature, and how Krishna, simply by his will and by his supreme intelligence and guidance, is directing the material energy to manifest itself moment to moment in the different manifestations. This they have no idea about. And if you mention God, they'll immediately become very disturbed. Why are you bringing God into this? We can do without God. But the fact is, not the whole, without Krishna's direction, without Krishna's potencies, nothing would happen. When Krishna withdraws his potencies and he puts us back into the Garbhadakshay Vishnu or Mahavishnu, and we stay there for another 311 trillion 40 billion years, and then everything is manifested again and annihilated again and again. And it's all going on by Krishna. There's no scientist necessary to enact these things. It's simply being done by Krishna's potencies. And they want to take Krishna out of the equation. But actually what they've done is simply taking themselves out of the equation. And they've taken so many other persons, human beings, out of the real understanding of what's going on here. And therefore, they've been caught up in simply punak punas charavata Charavananam. Simply doing the same thing over and over again, trying to squeeze some happiness out of the material nature, and simply finding themselves into more and more frustrating situations. Etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmana nabudaya pravanyu karmana shaye jagato hita. Krishna says in the previous verse of that, he says, they say the world is unreal, it has no foundation, no God in control, it is produced as sex desire, and has no other cause than lust. Following such conclusions and loss of themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial works, which is simply meant to destroy the world. So we find modern society, they've taken Krishna out of the equation, but they've taken the mode of goodness out of the equation. And gradually they're even taking passion out of the equation. They're just putting pure ignorance into the equation. Because it's pure ignorance to deny this the existence, and what to speak of the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is done out of pure envy and ignorance. And therefore that's the direction they're leading everyone towards. Their weaponry, their even food, genetically modified food, pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, peoplecides. The food, the air, the water, as Prabhupada once said in a morning walk, he said they contaminate the air, they contaminate the water, therefore there must be war. Because after all, I contaminate all my water, and I look around and I say, well, you haven't been so industrialist. You haven't created such a progressive civilization. You actually have some clean water. So therefore, because you're a barbarian, you never contaminated your water. Therefore, it's my duty to go and invade you, wipe you all out, and take your water out of my, as I said in Bhagavad Gita, in order to protect the pious and to annihilate the miscreants. I descend millennium after millennium. So with this attitude of denying God, they've denied his nature, they've denied the laws of nature, and therefore they've created simply problems for themselves and for everyone else. And that will continue until the Hare Krishna movement actually becomes more and more predominant within the society. Otherwise, if you read the newspaper, don't expect a whole lot of good news. So, I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes. You're just so... Yes. The point is that everyone's implicated. The mode of nature, the mode of ignorance and passion, the three modes, they're an equal opportunity employer. Everyone's involved in the modes of nature. The people who are going to McDonald's, the people who are killing animals, people who are taking intoxication. It's not that they may be innocent, but they're also implicated in the fact who they work under, who they elect, who they support. So they're all implicated. It's not that there's only a group of persons who are...
If they think that just by wishing it will go away, it will go away. You know what I mean? This is getting worse.
Yeah, without the Krishna consciousness movement giving people transcendental knowledge, so they have the alternative, then it just won't go away. It doesn't matter what arrangements are made to get rid of the so-called bad guys, because the people getting rid of them, they're also bad guys. It's just like, as Prabhupada gave the example, a group of thieves, they rob a bank, and they go to their hideout. And in their hideout, the head thief stands up and says, "My dear fellow thieves, thank you for robbing the bank. You did a great job. All glories to the thieves. Now that you've stolen this money, I have only one request to all you glorious thieves. Please, please, let us divide the money up honestly." So they're a bunch of thieves. They've stolen from the bank. So people in general are a bunch of thieves. They're trying to steal from God. And they're criticizing people for being illegal thieves. "You're a sinful thief. We're a pious thief, and you're a sinful thief." So unless people recognize the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and utilize His energies in His service, then they'll simply be harassed by the illusory energy. And part of that harassment is that they'll be given people to dole out, to give them back their bad karma in the form of bad leadership. But then again, look at, it's not only our elected officials or the bankers, but even in the family, because the father and the mother are not Krishna conscious, therefore they're bad leaders for their children. Because the father is not a Krishna conscious, he's a bad husband. And the wife, because she's not Krishna conscious, she's a bad wife. So everyone is, because of lack of Krishna consciousness, that's the problem.
So even the nature of the Gloria is adverse to devotees, it seems that actually they are Krishna's devotees anyway regardless, but they're just moving under the spell of the illusory energy to hope to people, so Krishna's like, he's got the game, like, checkmate.
Well, I'm not such an advanced devotee to see everyone as actually Krishna's devotee. Right now, they seem to be more devoted to his illusory energy than to Krishna. I don't think they have much feeling towards Krishna right now.
I'm just saying that's the way
Krishna has everything nicely arranged. But I don't think that, just like we're all eternal, but I don't think to be eternally in a nightmare is not very auspicious. Krishna may, we may have desiring to be there. Some people like horror movies. So some people may like to be in the horror movie, but I don't think it's a good idea.
So when you actually give that knowledge to people, they will like those ones. And you can see how much Krishna consciousness is actually very appealing to people.
Yeah, except for Arjuna. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.